Welcome to episode 2 of Bankruptcy to Bliss, where we're diving into the myths surrounding bankruptcy and uncovering the truth. I'm your host, Louisa Lorado, and today we're busting some common misconceptions about bankruptcy. The information contained on today's podcast has been provided as general advice only. The contents have been prepared without taking into account your objectives, financial situation, or individual needs. Before making any decision regarding the information shared on today's podcast, please consult your own financial advisor or other professional. Let's get into it. So today I really just wanted to shed some light about all those things that people believe is going to happen when you go bankrupt, and definitely the things I believe were going to happen before I knew much about bankruptcy, before we got our bankruptcy, and I'll just share what actually is the reality and our own experiences too. So the first myth that people believe is that you're going to be losing everything, and I know I definitely believe this is the truth, and that's because, you know, all the movies and shows show people that are going bankrupt and all of a sudden they're slapping an eviction notice on your door or a repossession notice, and then they're coming in and clearing out all your furniture and personal effects. And this definitely does not happen, I can promise you that. So when we went bankrupt, I was expecting literally the next day people to be knocking on the door, but that definitely, they gave us quite a while before they even gave us a notification about our property. But your furniture and things like that, they're all depreciating assets, so that your trustee is not interested in them. So you will get to keep your furniture, your personal items, and even vehicles. So that was the other thing. You think you're going to be losing your car. So you're allowed to keep, at the moment, the law in Australia is any vehicles over the value, under the value of $9,100. So if you own a car that is worth around the $9,000 mark or less, you will not be losing that. You'll get to keep it. They do want you to still be able to get around, to commute to work. They're not setting you up to fail. So you definitely can keep vehicles, even if you need to sell a vehicle and purchase a cheap one during your bankruptcy period. That's not going to be an issue at all. Now, you also get to keep your super. During our bankruptcy, our superannuation did not get touched at all. This is because it's not actually an income source at the moment. That's just sitting in the background, you know, ready for the future. So it's only if you are currently accessing your superannuation as part of your income and it's over the threshold that they'll take that into consideration. But the majority of people who are bankrupt, your superannuation will not be getting touched. The other thing was thinking that all of our bank accounts were just going to get emptied with every cent cleared out of it and you have to stash all your cash under your mattress. That is definitely not the case either. So they definitely allow you to keep money in your bank account just for day-to-day living. And that's all dependent on how much you're earning and what you need to continue to live. So they're not going to be clearing out your bank account. Obviously, if there's substantial savings in there, then that might be up for them to touch. But otherwise, your general day-to-day money, that's not going to be getting touched at all. And depending on your individual situation, you might not even lose your house if that is part of your asset class. So each individual case will be different, but not everyone loses their house either during bankruptcy. Now, the second myth that lots of people believe is that you're going to be losing your job or you're going to be having difficulty getting another job. Now, your employer does not find out about your bankruptcy. It's not like they issue a letter to your employer saying this person's been bankrupt, or is it something that you need to have to disclose to them either. There's only a few jobs that have restrictions for people who are bankrupt, and if you're not sure if your job falls into that category, you can check out the list on the AFSA website. There is a few restrictions. The common ones are lots of some different licensing bodies to do with trades and professions. So it doesn't mean you can't still work. It just means there might be some restrictions. So you might need to contact them or check that out on the AFSA website if that is a job that you have. The other main things is being a director of a company or managing companies you are unable to do during your bankruptcy. However, if you're a sole trader, then that doesn't generally get affected. Other employment like solicitors, accountants could be affected. Also, certain public positions like senators or members of parliament will be affected. But like I said, to check out whether that is a concern for you, you can check out the AFSA website for the full list of jobs and restrictions. And they vary from state to state in the different laws, especially the licensing ones. But I can assure you that most jobs do not get affected, and my husband and I did not have our jobs affected. Our employers didn't know unless we told them. It's not something that you really generally need to be concerned about. Now, the next myth is you're not going to be able to get a loan or credit, and you're constantly going to have a black mark against your name. Now, this was definitely something I thought was going to be the case. And I can assure you that, again, this is another thing that is not even close to being true. Now, generally, you can still get a loan after your bankruptcy. Even some people can get one during bankruptcy, and credit on things in the future as well. So when we went bankrupt, I was, under the strong impression that it's going to be so difficult to get a home loan or any loan of that nature. I thought my credit rating was going to be just destroyed, and I thought there was going to be this permanent, like, when anyone checks out our credit history, there'd be this big black mark on my name and a big alert saying, don't let this person borrow. But that definitely was not the case. And after our bankruptcy, we had saved up enough money to buy a home. So we approached a really great mortgage broker and just told them the story, told them we'd been bankrupt, explained what had happened. And there was absolutely no issues whatsoever of getting a home loan. So he managed to find us some really a simple lender that would easily borrow to us. In fact, we were thinking we'd have to have a really long settlement because we thought it might be drawn out to get our finance approved. And our finance approval was in less than a week. So that really was not an issue. And now it's been just over 4 years since our bankruptcy was, we were discharged from our bankruptcy. And it doesn't show up on any of our credit ratings. In fact, because we've been recently approved for another loan to buy an investment property, not only does it not show up at all that we were ever bankrupt on our home loans, but because we've been making good repayments on our mortgage currently and don't have any other debts, then we have got like over 900 credit ratings. Our credit rating score is amazing right now, so it really hasn't affected that in any way. So that's something you don't need to worry about at all. Now, the next myth that people believe is that your wages are going to be garnished or you're not going to be able to earn money. Now, this is a real common misconception, and lots of people think that you have to forfeit your income entirely when you're bankrupt. However, the regulations often include some thresholds which let you keep a portion of your earnings, which is most of your earnings. You actually get to keep 75% of your earnings in general. And additionally, your spouse's income isn't usually affected, only if your partner is also bankrupt. So my husband and I both went bankrupt together because we had lots of joint property. So that was the easiest way for us. So both of ours, we were affected. However, if just one person in the relationship is bankrupt, your partners can earn as much as they want. So that doesn't have any effect on your income. So basically what happens in Australia is when you are bankrupt, you are allowed to earn money up to a certain threshold. And this is, it's all changeable depending on how many dependents you have. Currently it varies. You can earn up to $70,000 to $95,000 depending on the number of dependents. Say you were earning, say the threshold was $80,000 and you were earning $90,000. So of that $10,000 extra that of the threshold that you're over, you pay 50% back. So in that case, you would be paying $5,000 back to your trustee that's overseeing your bankruptcy. So it doesn't mean you can't earn it. It means you get to keep 50% of anything you earn over that threshold, which is amazing. So don't let that restriction, that threshold number, restrict how much you earn or worry about having to pay money back. because the fact is you're still keeping that 50% over that threshold. So in our circumstances, we actually use this to our advantage. So I think at the time when we were bankrupt, the weekly rate ended up being it was about $850 roughly a week that my husband could earn, or that we each could earn per week. And I was earning just around that, so I didn't have to pay anything over back to the trustee. However, my husband's income was a bit over that. I can't even remember how much it was at the time, but it was definitely over that threshold. So what happened was, so we got to keep fully the $850, and this is after tax too, not before tax. So after tax, we got to keep that amount. Then anything over that, we would pay the 50% back. That would go direct debited to our trustee every month. And then the other 50% we kept. So we sort of saw that as bonus money in a way, because we were banking on only earning the $850. So then that extra 50% we put into our savings, which is how we were able to save up enough for a deposit for a home after our bankruptcy period was over. So please, please, please don't worry about your earnings and worrying that you can't earn over a certain amount. You definitely will get to keep 50% over that threshold. So focus on what you get to keep, not what you have to pay back. And also, the other thing you need to take into account in terms of garnishing, because you might have heard that your wages will be garnished. This only happens if you're not disclosing your income to your trustee, or you have disclosed your income, but you're not then paying that extra 50% to your trustee. And it's only sort of they're forced to have to garnish your income. But that is a very, very rare occurrence. And we had a friend who had been bankrupt before us and had not claimed their income and were earning over the threshold. And they ended up having their bankruptcy period extended for like 10 extra years. As far as I know, I don't even know if it's over now for them. And their income was getting garnished because they weren't making contributions themselves. So their advice was to just declare everything, be upfront with your trustee, make the payments, and then it will be done once your bankruptcy period is over. And also, if you're earning any additional like Centrelink benefits, these don't get touched either. These will continue as normal. That shouldn't have any effect on getting to earn. So don't think if you're bankrupt, you're not going to be able to still earn money and save money, because you will. Now, the next myth is that your bankruptcy is going to be publicly known and everyone's going to be judging you. Well, I can tell you again, it's really natural to worry about this, because the stigma associated with bankruptcy is pretty bad. And, you know, you fear that public scrutiny and you hear about this big bankruptcy register that anybody can look at. But basically, yes, there is a bankruptcy register, but it's really not easy to access it. And it's not open to the public unless they pay a fee to access the records, which most people aren't going to bother doing. So of all the people that have been bankrupt, it gets listed on the National Personal Insolvency Index, which, like I said, it can only be accessed for a fee. So it's not like you can just Google anyone to find out if they've ever been bankrupt before. And in my own personal experience, nobody knew about my bankruptcy except for the people that we chose to tell. So it wasn't something anybody found out about. It's actually quite difficult to find out who's on that list. And unless you're willing to pay the fee to access it, then only per person. So it's not like you could have a list of everyone. You'd have to search an individual name, pay the fee, and then access it. So I can assure you that 99% of people are never going to be accessing that list. I don't think it's something you need to be concerned about at all. All right, the next misconception is that you're not going to be able to get a rental. Now, most of the time, this is definitely not an issue, because if it was, there would be so many people in a position of homelessness, more so than there is right now, because the number of bankruptcies in Australia is increasing massively. And I can assure you they can definitely still get rentals. So if you are in a rental situation, then you'll notice that only some applications actually even include a question asking if you've ever been bankrupt before or if you're currently bankrupt. But most of the time, it doesn't affect your application, because in general, real estate agents are looking at whether you can still service your rental payments. and what your rental history is, if you've had good references and things like that in your previous rentals. They're the two key things that they're looking at. And so the bankruptcy issue doesn't normally prevent anyone in most cases getting a property. So don't let that worry you. Now, the next thing that people believe is that you're not going to be able to travel. Again, I can tell you this is definitely not true. We went on several overseas holidays during our bankruptcy. And all you have to do is, if you do want to go traveling, is to just notify your trustee. They basically just want to make sure you've got a valid passport, that you're not just booking a one-way ticket and fleeing the country. You can show them that you're going to be returning, so you've got return travel booked, and the nature of the travel. So in our circumstances, it was for family holidays, and we were away for a couple of weeks, and then we returned. So there was no issue. It's just a matter of notifying them. It's all that they need to know, and it's such an easy thing to do. All right, the next myth is that you won't be able to have any savings, or maybe some people even think you're not even going to be able to have a bank account anymore once you're bankrupt. Again, definitely not true. So it's really important to bear in mind that bankruptcy only covers the debts you owed before you became bankrupt, not after. So if you want to put a whole lot of money into your savings account during your bankruptcy, which is what we tried to do, so we managed to build up our savings. So by the end of our bankruptcy, we had over $100,000 in our savings account. This does not get touched through our bankruptcy, because this is all money that we have made during our bankruptcy period, and we've done the right thing. We've declared our income. We've given our 50% of our income to our trustee, and then we've managed to save extra money as well. So you can definitely save the money through your bankruptcy period. It doesn't get touched. It doesn't affect you in any other way. So please don't worry about that. And definitely, you can definitely still have a bank account. So don't think you're not even going to be able to have a bank account. When we went bankrupt, we had set up a new bank account because we had had previously we had credit cards, which we didn't then, and which we still have never got used to this day since our bankruptcy. But because Visa debit cards are so easy and they become part of most banks now, so you just use those instead. And that's not an issue at all during your bankruptcy to use those. And what we found as well was our bankruptcy actually set us up with some really good savings habits, because we got used to living off less money, given that we were transferring 50% over that threshold to our trustee. So once we finished our bankruptcy period, because we were so used to living off the income that we had, that 50% that we were putting towards our trustee, we just diverted straight into our savings account. And this allowed us to really build up our savings really quickly after our bankruptcy period had finished. So if you can do something similar, then that's really going to put you in a great position, and it just sets up good spending and savings habits for you. Now, the next misconception is that I'm going to be a failure. So lots of people think it means you've failed in not just financial areas, but all areas of your life. But I want you to think about this, as you have the strength to actually get on top of your finances, and not many people have the courage to take control of their situation and acknowledge their mistakes. So when you go bankrupt, what you're actually doing is you are sort of admitting that, yes, things have not worked out. However, I'm looking for a solution that's going to set me up, that's going to help me start fresh, and it's going to give me a clean slate so that I can start rebuilding and learning from the mistakes that I've made during my bankruptcy and building myself up and having courage to say, you know what, things aren't so good for me now. However, I'm ready to make a change. I'm ready to take action and not just let this consume me. Because what lots of people do, because they're too proud to admit with anything to do with money and finances, it's still quite a taboo subject, and lots of people don't like openly talking about their finances, which I think is so wrong, because it's such an integral part of everybody's life. And it shouldn't be a shame factor, because we should all be there to help each other, support each other, advise each other. So finances is something that's always been discussed openly within our family, at our dinner table. Our children are very aware of our financial situation through the bad times and the good. So I think that's helping the open dialogue of things. It's showing people that it's okay. It's okay. Things don't always work out. We've been in a situation where we've been in an amazing financial situation and then the worst financial situation of our life in a few short years. So it's okay to have that. It's not, and the more the people openly talk about it, the more it's going to remove that sort of taboo and the stigma associated with it. I remember standing in our kitchen just like absolutely distraught, thinking, how am I actually going to feed my family this week? Like, I know what it feels like to have nothing, to have not a cent in our bank account and to still go on. And I know the stress that that puts on me, myself, my relationships, my family, the people around me. And I know that there's a lot of people that let that stress consume them and they can't see the way out, and it leads into this downward spiral where everything gets on top of them. So admitting that you're, this is a step forward. Going bankrupt, declaring bankruptcy, it's not a sign of weakness at all in my eyes. It's a sign that you have the courage to take accountability for your actions, that you want to start fresh, that you're going to take some action and make something happen. You're not just going to sit back and let it all consume you. And that takes strength, it takes courage, it takes bravery, and it takes you being an action taker to take that step. So if that's something that you're sort of not sure about, there's definitely, it's a good way to reframe your thinking around bankruptcy, because it's definitely not the worst thing. For me personally, it was one of the best things that has happened in my life, because it's really allowed me to learn so much from the mistakes that I made that led up, like the year preceding our bankruptcy, that uncertainty period where we weren't sure what we were going to do, and then during our bankruptcy. So I'm a completely different person to what I was prior to our bankruptcy now, because of the lessons I've learned, but also the resilience that it builds up within you. To have to be able to bounce back after such a massive setback from, at the time we had a multi-million dollar property portfolio that then all of a sudden became worthless almost overnight, and then having nothing. So you need the resilience to be able to pick yourself up and look for practical action steps forward. And then once you can do that, then that's when you get yourself back on track. But if you're staying back in that gloom and failure sort of mindset and scarcity and the worry, then that's just going to consume you. Your only way forward is to rebuild, to take action, to do something about it, and to make this happen. And for us, bankruptcy was the answer. That gave us that clean slate, that gave us a fresh start, and it allowed us just to set ourselves up again financially, to being in a point again where we are in an amazing situation. And now that's what I want to share with others as well, to help them, people that are going through the same thing. So just to wrap up today's episode, I just want you to remember that bankruptcy doesn't define you, and it's not the end of your financial journey. In fact, this could be the beginning of an exciting new chapter of your life. Now, with the right knowledge and resources, you can overcome all the challenges that bankruptcy has to offer and help you rebuild your financial situation and your financial health. So if you're facing bankruptcy or considering it as an option, make sure, though, you first consult with a financial advisor or a bankruptcy advisory service, or seek some other sort of professional guidance just to find out if it is the right choice for you first, and then you can see how you can proceed from there. So at the moment, my goal in life is to help you change your money story and create a positive relationship and mindset around money, to help you create more of it on your life, because I know that big setbacks, bankruptcy and financial hardships can really change the way you view your money. So I want you to get back on the right track. So please make sure you subscribe to the Bankruptcy to Bliss podcast so you can be notified when a new episode comes out. You can also head over to my free Bankruptcy to Bliss Facebook group for support, plenty of free training and advice to help you. And you can find the link to this group in the description below. Now, if you've enjoyed today's episode, please leave a review and share this with anyone that you think will enjoy it. Thanks for listening, and don't forget to tune in next time.